Performance Development Center is with us to talk about business and our business community. Rebecca, thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Barry.
It's good to have you here. You talk about sunshine, you bring your own, so that's good. Appreciate you being here. So we were talking a little bit before getting started, and we're all told, you know, you should have a savings account. You should be putting something aside for a rainy day. And we often don't think businesses should do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they should.
They should. They should. I have been working for the Small Business Development Center for almost 14 years now. And I can tell you that I work with, depending on the year, between 100 and 200 businesses. And I would say that, you know, 3/4 of them do not have any form of business savings whatsoever. So, you know, it just amazes me that that is overlooked in business. I guess they figure as long as they've got enough money to pay for what they need, kind of in the personal world, it'd be like living paycheck to paycheck, right? Well, in the business world, that's definitely not what you want to do, but that is what a lot of small business owners do actually. They do that, and I don't know that it's intentional. You know, like, I'm just not going to have a savings account. I don't think it's a conscious thing like that. I think it's more of a, well, I have the money, so let's do this with it, or, you know, that kind of thing. And instead of putting aside a set amount each month or what have you in order to save for the future.
Are there some rules of thumb we should follow in terms of how much to save?
Yes. It used to be that they would say for business savings somewhere around 10% of whatever your gross income is. But now they're saying 20%, which is a lot. I mean, that takes a chunk out of your profit, you know. But if you factor that in as part of your calculation for what you're charging or what your prices are, you factor it into your profit margin, then it just becomes, you know, the everyday thing. And so 20% is now the rule of thumb for businesses on how much they should put back. And there's so many reasons that they need to do that.
Okay. What are some of those reasons?
Sure. So first and foremost, we always talk about for a rainy day, right? For emergencies that come up that are just unforeseen. So that could be anything from, well, an ice storm that, you know, ruins your roof, and that wasn't expected to happen for another decade, right? Things like that. And so you just have to have that money in place. Another thing is for large purchases. One of the things that the discounts that people get to take or deductions that they get to take on their taxes is for depreciation of assets that they own. So furniture, fixtures, equipment, real estate, all of that they can depreciate. And so as they do that depreciation, the purpose of taking a depreciation deduction on your taxes is that you're actually utilizing that money for the future. That's the idea. And so you're really supposed to be putting that money back as savings so that when your roof goes bad or what have you, you're able to actually pay for it and afford it. And that's the government's way of helping you to do that, is by giving you the tax deduction in the form of depreciation. Because depreciation, it's in and of itself on your taxes, is not cash. It's just a deduction you get to write down, right? But it should be cash in reality for your business. So definitely saving for a rainy day. Also saving for large purchases is something else that you would want to do, or if you think about financing. So anytime a business finances stuff, usually they're required to put some money towards the project or towards a building that they're purchasing if they're expanding. So if you're saving over time, then when it comes time to make those big purchases, you have that down payment. At the minimum, you have at least the down payment in order to move forward and continue to expand. And something else that it's important to remember is that when you are expanding, maybe you add employees. Well, a lot of times, that's one of the big questions I get. How do I know when I'm ready to add another employee or my first employee? Well, one of the things that you should be doing is saving along the way. And if you're able to save, that in and of itself is a good sign that you can hire an employee. But it also gives you this bank of money so that you can pay that employee, right, when you first get started. And maybe there's not quite enough business to keep them busy all the time, but, you know, enough to, that you need the help. So so there's all kinds of reasons that companies need to have a business savings account. And those are just a few of them. Also important to note is that a business savings account is important as a separate account. So not just having like a checking account and you just don't use some of the money, but actually having a separate formal account in the bank that is for savings that you either automatically have a transfer into or something of that nature, because it'll actually grow. You know, there's interest on savings, business savings accounts versus a typical business checking account.
So I wanted to get back to the 20% just for a minute to clarify for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe our listeners might have a question or two about that. If it's 20%, is that, okay, I get my, whatever my income is for the month.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a matter of 20% of income gets saved on a regular basis, or is it 20% of some overall number that goes in and out of your accounts on a regular basis? In other words, it's like a reserve that it's equal to a certain. I'm not explaining this very well. I'm not an accountant.
That's okay. I think I understand what you're asking, and so my answer would be that it would be the whole number. So if you, let's say last year your company made, you know, $500,000 in sales, then you would want to ideally try to save 20% of that. Now, it may have made $500,000, but then there's a profit at the bottom, right?
Right.
Which doesn't equate to the $500,000.
That's right.
So let's say it equates to $100,000. So of that profit, you would want to ideally try to save 20% of that, put it back as if this is money that, yeah, it's a profit, but I'm going to keep it as reserves for my company so that it can be used in the future.
So if you were to have a really good period, you might actually have all of that in for your expectation for the year by halfway through the year, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest you might be tempted to think of that as excess and be free to spend it on something that would help the business. Is that a legitimate way to go about it, or should you be more formal about it?
Well, I definitely think any time you're going to make a business decision about how you spend money, especially excess money, I would think that you should be more formal about it. I think strategic is the word.
Just, that's a better word.
Yeah, if you're being strategic about it and there's a purpose for the money, then that makes sense to spend it. But, you know, not just to go on a really big fun vacation or something. You know, the business made the money. So if the business continues to make extra money, then maybe you give yourself as the owner, you know, a bump in pay, right? But the business continues to gather the money. So I think that's important to understand that, yes, you pay yourself first, and then you pay all of your expenses. And then you need to make sure that as part of your expenses, that reserve or that savings is considered one of those expenses. So it's just money that is gone. Just like you pay your rent every month and you know you have to do it, you have to pay into that savings every month.
So I'm wondering whether you're saving, and you'd mentioned different categories here, but whether in two big lumps, one might be this part of what I'm saving for is operational expenses to cover a certain period of time if income is low,
mm-hmm.
and now I don't have to lay anybody off or whatever. And the other would be, so it's operational.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, maybe capital or equipment purchases coming up or maintenance down the road, replacement or what have you. So is that common also maybe to split up your savings in that fashion?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes people that do that, they actually will keep a money in a separate saving or a separate checking account for that purpose. Like, for example, if they know that the money is going to be used in the future to pay taxes. So yes, you're saving that money, but really you already know what it's going to go for. Then they just have a separate account where they put that money in there. And then they have their savings account where they save money. And I don't want to get it too convoluted or, you know, but, you know, having two or three accounts for business is not at all uncommon.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned something really important, like keeping people not having to lay people off, especially if you are a seasonal business. This is really important. So if you want to maintain good employees, not have turnover, then being able to keep them employed during the slow season is very important. So when you think of construction or other types of businesses that we know are seasonal, it's important to be able to keep those people that are good employees on board. And really the way to do that is to make sure that you're able to pay them through those slow seasons. And by saving money from all the big jobs you had like in the summer is a great way to do that.
Mm-hmm. And good employees are an asset that's really hard to replace.
I would argue that they're probably the best asset you have, and your cash, it makes that happen. So I guess the cash is the best asset because it allows you to keep those employees, at least keep them paid. And they are your company. Your employees are the ones doing the work. They're the ones talking to the customers. They're the ones, whatever it is you have them doing, if they weren't doing it, you know, your company would falter. And so your employees are your greatest asset.
Talking with Rebecca Labina. Now, we were talking about the savings accounts and the importance of saving in a business. We had a good example, I suppose, last year, maybe still going on. We went through this extraordinarily awful period for business. I don't know that most of us who are not in business, although we're all in business to an extent because we're earning a living.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a lot of us really grasped how hard this was on business. And it's just another illustration of the need to put some money aside if you can, because really difficult times could hammer you unless you're prepared. Would that be applicable for the COVID period?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Barry. Last year in 2020, when businesses were forced to shut down, you know, that was awful for their employees. It was awful for the employer as well, because they, you know, they want to keep in business. That's what they do, right? And then they want to be able to pay their employees. But without having a reserve of some sort within their business, many of them ran out of money pretty quick. And so people were put on unemployment. And that's why we saw unemployment go so high last year for a short period of time, until the like Paycheck Protection Program came into play. And that allowed especially small businesses who didn't have a reserve to continue to pay their employees while they were shut down. And even once they reopened and were, you know, slowly getting back to sales. I don't know if anybody's sales are back to normal yet, but you know, it's a slow process. And so those that had reserves, you know, they were less concerned. But many, many small business owners did not have reserves at all, or had very, very small reserves. And so when you talk about having that savings account for 20%, that could have easily gotten them through, you know, a month or two of being closed and still keep their people employed and let them know that they're able to still pay the rent and not get behind. And it would just create so much less stress and worry and security for the business owner and their employees.
And so just as a side note, that Paycheck Protection Program really was one of those things that actually helped.
It did. It did. And that's really a good segue into the next topic, which is taxes. In order to, yeah, I know, people love talking about taxes, right? And it is tax season. It's upon us.
It's here.
It is.
It's that dreadful time of the year until you're done with it.
That's right. That's right. And I don't know a single person that just loves doing their taxes, you know, and getting all your receipts together. And so as a business owner, though, business owners have to do the same thing. They have their business taxes that have to be done. And even if they have an accountant or someone like that doing it, there are still things internally that they have to give that accountant in order to successfully do their taxes. And so last year and this year with the Paycheck Protection Program, you had to show, if you are a sole proprietor or one of those independent contractors, gig workers, call them what you want, LLC owners, which a lot of small businesses are LLCs and sole proprietorships. So with those entities, that's called a pass-through entity, meaning any profits or losses that you have for your business pass through onto your personal income tax form, so onto your personal 1040. And so if you took every deduction known to man and then some on your taxes in order to decrease your tax burden, how much you would owe in taxes at the end of the year, and legitimately so. But if you did that, then what happens is, especially if you fudge some stuff, like you go on a vacation and you call that a business trip, or, you know, those extra things that business owners kind of call them as perks of being a business owner that they get to do. Not that they should do, but that they do. Anyway, so doing,
or that they're tempted to,
or that they're tempted to
do.
Yes, I am not. I am not endorsing doing that. But so when they do that, though, what happens is then they might not show a profit on their tax return. And in order to receive funds from the Paycheck Protection Program, they had to either pay payroll taxes to actual employees, or if they didn't have employees, they had to actually show that they made a profit. So for those entities that were out there that were in business and did everything, and they really did make a profit, but after they took their mileage expenses and all those other non-cash deductions for like depreciation and things that we talked about earlier in the hour, when they take all those things, then it shows a loss. And so then they don't owe any taxes, which is great at that time. But in reality, going forward for their future, you just don't know what might happen. Now, no one can predict a pandemic. You can't do that. But knowing that you need to show a profit in the future in order to access government funds, in order to sell your business in the future, you're going to have to show several years of profit. In order to get financing from a bank for any reason whatsoever, just a line of credit or something, you're going to have to show a profit. Because if you don't show a profit, why would somebody lend you money, right? It looks like you're a sinking ship. And if you didn't pay taxes for your business because you showed a loss, then that's why you didn't have access to the Paycheck Protection Program, because it was based upon you paying in taxes, kind of like a, hey, you did your part, now we're going to do our part as the government. So, you know, it just, it benefits you all around to just, to show a realistic profit, a realistic view of your business on your taxes.
There are so many ways that being, I don't want to say less than honest, but maybe stretching things a little bit. You mentioned fudging. Mm-hmm. These are sort of polite ways of saying, you know, you're just maybe in danger of exaggerating this or that. So many ways that can come back to haunt you.
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, you have to be able, if you're audited, to prove stuff. So, like, for example, if you have a home office, then, you know, you need to be able to prove that you meet the standard for a home office. And, you know, one of the standards for a home office is that it has, you know, four walls and a door. So it can't just be like an open living room where you happen to have a computer, right? That does not count. And so, but a lot of people think, well, I do my work there, so that counts as an office. But you need to truly understand what the IRS's rules are. So even if you use an accountant, just be sure that when they ask you those questions, hey, do you have a home office, that you clarify with them. Because a lot of times they just think that you know. And if you don't, then just say, well, I don't know. This is where I do my work at home. Does that count, you know, as a home office? So ask those questions. Be open and forthright. It's okay to not know all that stuff because you're not the tax accountant, right? You're the business owner. But you want to make sure that you are doing what you need to do so that if you're audited, that, you know, the IRS auditor comes in and says, okay, yes, you have four walls and a door, and this is exclusively used for your business. That's another requirement, is it can't be a dual room where it's like a spare bedroom and your office. You know, it has to be dedicated space. So it's just understanding those things. And as much as people hate to have to pay a dollar more in taxes, I know, it's better to be forthright and honest and upfront and show a real view of your company.
You know, the home office issue did become kind of an issue in the COVID year in 2020, and maybe even still now for some people, for a lot of people, because so many people work from home.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're – and probably in the beginning maybe, they didn't even think about setting aside dedicated space. Most of us have all the home – we need all the home we have.
Mm-hmm.
to have it be a home.
Exactly.
And so the idea of setting aside space in that home that can't be used for anything else, it just doesn't fit the stereotype of a work-at-home person who shows up in his bedroom slippers and sits on the edge of the bed and he's typing on his laptop. And that's not a home office.
No. Sitting at your kitchen table is not a home office. Yeah. No. As much as we'd like for the deduction to take place.
So we've got about a minute and a half left in the program this morning. What are some highlights that you'd like to make sure that we get out of this? Because so much of this really is important.
I would offer that any small business that's out there that they make sure that they start today, if they haven't already started, that they go ahead and start saving for their business, that they have that savings account in place, that they're putting money aside for it, and you know, you're factoring that into your profit margin every month as just a regular ongoing expense. So definitely want them to take that away, and also to take away that putting a clear view of how profitable your business really is on your taxes will actually serve you in the future as you grow your business or even if you plan to sell your business. So it will only benefit you in the long run. For a few dollars of extra taxes now, you'll benefit tremendously in the future.
You know, I think about some of the old adages we were taught as kids. Your mom might have said to you, honesty is the best policy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true.
And a penny saved is a penny earned.
A penny saved is a penny earned. Those things do matter.
Yeah, they do.
And not following up on that, skipping those simple lessons, can be costly in the end.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Rebecca, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me on the show, Barry. I appreciate it.
Also, always great to have you here. Rebecca Labina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center. Give us your phone number again, your office number.
It is 816-364-4105, and my office is inside the Chamber of Commerce in St. Joe.
Easy to find and easy to call.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Rebecca.